Praise God. If you have a Bible, I want you to go to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 14 is where we're going to begin here this morning. You have notes on your chair that you can use to follow along here today. We are in the middle of a 40-day challenge. And by the middle, I mean we're on day, what, 15? Right? Day 15 of the 40-day challenge. I asked some people this week, how is the 40-day prayer challenge helping you? Now, the 40-day prayer challenge is very simple. We're just challenging everybody to pray at least once a day for 40 days in a row. And isn't it amazing how just that simple challenge can change things? Here's what some people told me. Well, one person said, Carla said, it has given us peace even though the devil is heavily attacking us. Don said, Pastor Jeff's sermon last week really helped me focus in on how to pray, and the focus points of our Jericho has helped me focus on what to pray for. Now, if you missed last week's message, I would call that an instant classic on prayer. So if you missed it, make sure you watch Pastor Jeff's message about this. My favorite response was this right here. Faye said, Pastor Wayne, before going to bed, my husband and I read the 40-day devotional together, and we kneel and pray together. As a result, this has been the best time of our marriage. It's been so amazing to talk to God together. We are connecting like never before, and we even feel like we are back on our honeymoon. Are you getting this? Yesterday, I thank God for these last 11 days. We feel much more connected, more in love, closer, and we feel more of the Holy Spirit. I told you so. Prayer affects everything else. Prayer affects every other part of our life. And one more response, someone said, I have found myself being more bold in my prayer time and praying more diligently about situations. Really listening to the Holy Spirit in the moment when you hear him say, pray, I make sure I do. Now, I want to encourage you, if you haven't joined in yet on the prayer challenge, just join right in, and all you're doing is setting a time every day and picking a place every day to pray and talk to God. All right, that's the goal. We have the 40-day devotional that you can purchase at the Resource Center on your way out to follow along. But the reality is, we are just simply trying to build the habit of daily prayer in our lives. I'm convinced with all of my heart that if we will pray on a regular basis, everything will change in our lives, our families, our relationships, our ministries, our churches, our communities, our nation, and our world. If we will, God will, he says. Now, one of the reasons that people don't like to pray, I've heard, is because they think that prayer is boring. You know what, Pastor, when I think about prayers, it's just kind of boring when you think about it. And I've been thinking about that. I've been contemplating that. And perhaps one of the reasons that prayer to many people is boring is because they pray boring prayers. We pray boring little prayers, safe prayers, easy prayers, little prayers, and we don't take any risks, and we don't pray with faith, and we don't pray bold prayers. That's the topic of our message today, Give Me That Mountain, because how many know prayer requires faith? I said prayer requires faith. Everybody say faith. How many know it took faith for Noah to build a boat in the middle of a desert? The Israelite army showed great faith when they circled the city seven times before the walls came down. A shepherd boy named David took the risk of faith when he charged after a giant with just five stones and a slingshot. How many know the wise men showed great faith when they followed a star to Timbuktu? They didn't know where they were going, but they took the risk of faith. Peter may have felt pretty foolish when he took the risk of faith in getting out of the boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee when Jesus bid him to come. But how many know the results speak for themselves? Noah was saved from the flood. The walls came tumbling down. David defeated Goliath. The wise men found the Messiah, and Peter walked on the water. What was the ingredient? It's called faith. Faith activates prayer. Faith invigorates prayer. Faith makes prayer exciting. And I'm excited to talk about faith making prayer exciting. Now, some of you may have felt a little weird in asking God for what you wrote down on your Jericho card. We gave these out a couple weeks ago. If you didn't get those, they're up here on the altar area. They're really everywhere. Some of them are posted on the wall. Some of you, you know, you say, Pastor, I just feel a little odd writing down what I'm believing God for or what I'm asking God for. But let me tell you, if you're not willing to take the first step, you're never going to walk on water. You're never going to see the miracle take place. Did you listen to the song you were singing today? Through you, I can do anything. Through you, I can do all things because it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Am I at the right church today? Listen, if you aren't willing to follow the star, you're going to miss out on the greatest adventure of your life, right? If you're not willing to step out of the boat, you're not going to walk on water. If you're not willing to circle the city, the walls are not going to come tumbling down. Listen, in order to experience a miracle, you got to take the risk of faith and ask God for some big things. Nod your head if you're with me. Prayer requires faith, the boldness of faith. And our message today is found in Joshua chapter 14, because to me, the person that illustrates bold faith more than anyone else in the Bible is Caleb. In the Old Testament, this is a story that takes place following Jericho's fall. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about the story when God told Joshua to circle the city of Jericho and it fell. This story we're about to read is after that. So the children of Israel are in the promised land. The first city had fallen. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. The children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea." Caleb says, "You remember what God said." Verse 7, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old." Now pause for a second. Caleb is telling Joshua, "Joshua, you remember what Moses said to us? Moses said that God promised us the whole land, the promised land." He goes, "And I've been holding on to that promise for 45 years. Because you may remember, we had some trouble when we were about to enter the promised land. God sent us into the land to spy it out. There were 10 people that voted against us. We too were saying, let's do it. And it cost us about 45 years. But Caleb is saying to Joshua, I'm still holding on to that promise. I haven't forgotten what God said. And now I believe God's going to bring it to pass. Are you with me today? Verse 11. "As yet as I am strong, as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." Verse 12, "Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out." And watch the last few words of this verse. "As the Lord said." Caleb's prayer was a bold one. It was a big one. His Jericho was huge. He said, "I want that mountain. The mountain that we are that we behold." Now listen, Caleb is a great example of faith because he was a person who prayed bold prayers with bold faith. Now, the children of Israel had entered the promised land. They'd taken the city of Jericho, right? They circled the city for 7 days. God gave them the city. But how many know Jericho was the first city to fall? And God had promised them all the cities of Canaan. God had promised them the entire promised land, and so they still had to go possess it. Now, how many know sometimes that's like us? We read one promise in the Bible, and we get all excited because God fulfilled one little promise in the Bible. And God kind of reminds us, hey, there's a few thousand other more promises in the Bible, and all of God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So we can't just stop at one. Let's believe for the whole thing. That was what Caleb was saying. Let's believe for the whole thing. So they came to this place called Hebron in the promised land. And Caleb says to Joshua, I want to live there. I want that mountain in my life. Now, why this mountain? Why was Caleb so excited about this? Bible scholars have a couple different ideas. Hebron is where Abraham lived a good part of his life and where Abraham was buried. And I don't know, maybe Caleb perhaps thought, if I'm going to live where Abraham lives, maybe all of Abraham's promises is coming to me. Also, that's where the Anakim lived. A few, 40 years before, these were the people that scared the snot out of the 12 spies of Israel. And so much so that fear came upon everyone. And he may have been thinking, these dudes cost me 40 years of my life making lap after lap in the wilderness. I'm ready to take those dudes out. I don't know what his motive was, but the Bible says, he says, give me that mountain. Now, let me ask you a question. What gave Caleb that kind of faith? What gave Caleb that kind of faith to believe for such a big promise? Because guess what? God ultimately delivered on the promise, and God gave Hebron to Caleb. Why did God give him the mountain? A few thoughts. Number one, Caleb was not so much a man of great faith, but a man of faith in a great God. Let me say that again. It wasn't the fact that Caleb was such a man of great faith. It's the fact that Caleb was a man of faith in a great God. Caleb wasn't high on himself. He was high on God. As a matter of fact, Caleb says to Joshua, dude, I'm 84. I'm an old man. I'm not a young man, but I believe God is going to give us victory and give me this mountain. Why did Caleb have such bold faith, such courage? Because he had a great view of God. He had a great perspective of the God that he served, and as a result, he had great faith. You may remember in the book of Numbers, previously God had provided a miracle of manna and quail in the desert, and in verse 23 of Numbers 11, God asked Joshua and Caleb and Moses and all these people the same question: is there any limit to my power? Is there anything I can't do, God says? Is there any limit to my ability to do what I said I would do? Now, the obvious answer to that question is no. There is nothing that God can't do. God is omnipotent, which means by definition, there's nothing that's impossible with God. But how many know many of us pray as if our problems are bigger than God? Come on, somebody. So I'm here today to remind you that God is infinitely bigger than any problem you have in your life. That God is infinitely bigger than any challenge and bigger than any Jericho that you've written down in your life. Come on, somebody. Listen, in order to regain a godly perspective, in order to get the perspective of God, we got to remember what A.W. Tozer said. Here's what he said. A low view of God is the cause of 100 lesser evils, but a high view of God is the solution to 10,000 temporary problems. What's he saying here? He said, guys, if you have a low view of God, it's going to cause you a lot of trouble. And can I tell you, that is the challenge with our culture. We have a very low view of God because we don't preach God high and lifted up. We don't preach God the Almighty, God the Omnipotent, God the Judge. And as a result, it results in all of these evils. But Tozer is saying, listen, behold God. Think about the Lord. Reflect on his greatness and his power, and it will become the solution to 10,000 temporary problems. So what he's saying is, our biggest problem is we have a small view of God. We serve a tiny God. We serve a nice little God that we can control and manipulate. Come on, somebody. I want you to think about what Caleb had seen his God do. Caleb saw God bring the most powerful nation on the earth at that time, the nation of Egypt, to its knees by sending the 10 plagues. Caleb had seen God part the Red Sea right in front of his eyeballs so that a couple million Israelites can cross over on dry ground. Caleb had seen God provide manna every day in the desert. God fed 2 million people every day in the desert, some manna and some quail, and Caleb saw it with his eyes. And not long ago, before this story, when they come to the mountain of Hebron, he had seen the walls of Jericho fall down after they circled the city for 7 days. So Caleb had a great faith because he had a great view of God. Some of us will say, well, Pastor, you know what? That's great for him, but I haven't seen any of those miracles in my life. We need to remember that there are miracles around us all the time. But it's so easy to find something to complain about in the middle of all those miracles. Did you know while you're listening to this message, your heart goes about its business of circulating 5 quarts of blood through 100,000 miles of veins, arteries, and capillaries? And it's amazing that you can even concentrate on this sermon, not because of the electronic device that you have in your hand. It's amazing that you can even concentrate on this message given the fact that you're on a planet that is traveling 67,000 miles an hour through space while spinning around on its axis at a speed of 1,000 miles an hour. Kind of makes me dizzy thinking about it. We are a miracle. We live in a world of miracles. God is a God of miracles. Numbers 11:23 says, "Is there any limit to my power?" Have you answered that question? Have you answered that question when God asks you, "Is there any limit to my power?" Because there's only two options. It's either yes or no. And until you come to the conviction that God's grace and God's power has no limits, you'll pray small prayers. Your prayer life will be boring. It will be a boring relationship with God that you have. If you're reading the devotional, you read this just a couple days ago. He says, "The size of your prayers depends on the size of your God. If your God is small, then you will pray man-sized prayers. But if your God knows no limits, then neither will your prayers." So how big is your God? Is he big enough to heal your marriage? Is he big enough to heal your relationships? Is he big enough to bring your prodigal back home? Is he bigger than a positive MRI? Is he bigger than a negative evaluation at work? Is he bigger than your secret sin or your biggest dream? Caleb's faith was in a great God. Second thing, Caleb's boldness rested on his understanding of God's promises, not his own ability or circumstances. I tried to shrink these points down to make it more memorable. I just couldn't do it. Caleb's boldness rested on his understanding of God's promises, not his own ability or circumstances. Now, how many know the circumstances for Caleb were a pretty big deal? He's 84 years old. He's not a young man anymore. And in order to claim the mountain that he had asked for, he had to move some giants out of the way that were living there. Now, these were real giants. You know, not fake ones, CGI, like Jack and the Beanstalk, right? Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of a Caleb's dude son or something. I don't know. But these were real people. Caleb is not as young as he once was, and now he's taking on giants bigger than he is. I want you to notice that his circumstances were not favorable. As a matter of fact, the odds were against him. But Caleb had learned that circumstances are nothing compared to God's promises. Oh, you got to get this. Circumstances are nothing in relation to God's promises. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, here's what Caleb says. "I shall be able to drive them out," watch what he says, "as the Lord said." He didn't say, "because I'm a manly man." He didn't say, "because I'm the man," or "because I'm awesome," or "because I'm going to scare the living daylights out of them." He says, "I'm going to be able to drive them out of the land because that's what God said I could do. That's what God promised me. That's what God's promises was in my life." Are you getting this today? Now listen, this wasn't the first time that Caleb had believed God's promises in spite of his circumstances. You may remember when Caleb and Joshua were one of the spies sent into the promised land. Moses sent 12 spies into the land to explore it out to see what it was like. And remember, it was about a year after they had left Egypt. Moses says, "Guys, go check this out." In Numbers chapter 13, verse 26, the Bible says, they all came back to Moses and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh, and they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They said, "We went into the land that you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey, and here's the fruit. This is awesome. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live there, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, all the enemies of Israel." Verse 30, the Bible says, Caleb silenced the people before Moses. It wasn't Joshua who did this, it was Caleb. He said, guys, be quiet. He says, we should go up and take possession of the land. We can do it. We can certainly do it. But when the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are. They spread out the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. And all the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Now, what was the difference between Joshua and Caleb and these 10 other spies? These 10 other spies were fixated on the circumstances. In their mind, it's not adding up, right? It's not working. They're doing the mental math. These 10 spies, we're slaves coming out of Egypt. We are not an army, and these guys are giants. It's not possible. It doesn't add up. Now, before we're too hard on those guys, we need to ask ourselves, have we ever been there? You know, God wants you to take that job because it's his will, even though it pays less, but it doesn't add up. You know God wants you to go on that missions trip, but it doesn't add up with your time, your calendar, your budget. You know God wants you to tithe, to give the first tenth of your income, but somehow it doesn't add up that God can bless the 90% more than he can the 100% while you keep the increase yourself. You know, God wants you to get married. He wants you to adopt. He wants you to do this, that, or the other, but somehow in your mind, it just doesn't add up. And as a result, we lack faith. So as a result of their circumstances, the Israelites weren't praying, God, give us the land. They were praying, God, get us out of here. And you know the rest of the story? They spend 40 years accomplishing nothing. Now, let me just go ahead and just say this to you, okay? This is one of those, I'm encouraging you with a little bit of provocation sermon. If you don't live a life of faith, if you don't learn to pray in faith, you'll accomplish nothing. Zero. You'll exist. You'll live from day to day. What kind of existence is that? God puts you on this planet to make a difference. God put you on this earth so that he could show his glory through you. And in order for that to happen, you got to have some faith and believe that through God, I can do anything. That was totally free, by the way. Caleb and Joshua were different than the other 10, right? Caleb knew the promise that God made to Moses. He knew the promise that God made to Joshua. And since he was part of God's family, he says, hey, that's my promise as well. He says, God said this was our land, so let's go take possession of it. I want you to notice this. Caleb wasn't ignoring the circumstances when he said this. He wasn't downplaying the circumstances because these giants, they were really big. They were real. They weren't fake. So the Israelites weren't exaggerating when they said, we're like grasshoppers in their eyes. We're small, they're big. You know, some people think that faith is blind and that faith is about ignoring what's going on. It's about ignoring the circumstances, and somehow we can't actually say that something's there. I'll never forget, years ago, I was serving as a youth pastor in a church, and there was one particular person on the staff there that took care of the building. He was very much into what I would call hyper faith. Okay, now how many know it? To everything there's a balance. And so one day he comes into the office and his eyeball is blood red. I mean, it was very difficult to tell his pupil and his iris from the rest of his eye. It was so red. And I said, Ralph, you need to go to the hospital. Oh, no, I don't. I said, there's something wrong with your eye. He goes, no, it's not. It's fine. You know, I'm good. Nothing's wrong. I'm like, dude, go look in the mirror. That is not good. You know, but he was afraid to even say, there's something wrong with my eye. Are you getting this? Sometimes we think we have to have faith means to ignore the circumstances, but that's not it at all. Listen, Caleb didn't ignore the circumstances. Please get this. He just believed that God was bigger than the circumstances. Faith is not ignoring the circumstances. Faith is believing that God is bigger than my circumstances, right? Well, let me help you out. Maybe this will help you. A little football illustration. Remember last year, the new coach of the Indianapolis Colts was diagnosed with leukemia. And he stood in the locker room with his players. And he was talking about how they needed to live in the vision and not in the circumstances. He says, I'm going to live to walk my daughters down the aisle. He goes, we're going to hoist that Super Bowl trophy one day here in this locker room. He said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, live in the vision. Don't you live in the circumstances. I think that is incredible thinking. That's Caleb's faith type of thinking. Listen, we need to live in the vision of God's promises, not the circumstances that that we are faced with, not the circumstances that we are surrounded with. Yes, they're there. Yes, they're real. Yes, they're big, but God is bigger. Number three, here's what we learned from Caleb. Bold prayers honor God. Bold prayers honor God. Caleb's request was pretty bold. He says, give me that mountain. Now, how many know it was an indication of his faith in God? And God was pleased with Caleb. Why? Because Caleb's prayer required God's help. Now, listen closely. Caleb prayed a prayer that without God's intervention, it would have never come to pass. Sometimes I wonder if our prayers insult God. I don't mean that we shouldn't pray about small things. Because remember, Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. So we should pray about everything, right? But I'm talking about the fact that we never pray for big things because we don't think God can do it. Our prayer life consists of little things all the time. Now, again, you can do that. That's great. But when do you ever believe for the big things? So the only prayers that we pray are safe little prayers that require no faith. Definitely not bold faith. It reminds me of a story of Alexander the Great. As history shows, one of the most powerful leaders of our world. There was a philosopher in Alexander's court who had outstanding ability, but little money. He asked Alexander for some financial help. Alexander says, go see my financier, my treasurer, and ask for whatever you need. So the philosopher goes to the treasurer and asks, get this, for the equivalent of $50,000. The treasurer says, I'm going to have to confirm that such a large amount with my boss, Alexander, to make sure it's authorized. And so when the treasurer goes back to Alexander to verify the request, here's what Alexander says. Give him the money ASAP. Give him the money at once. Because by the size of his request, he honors me and he shows me that he understands both my wealth and my generosity. Bold prayers honor God. If you're reading the devotional, you've heard this, you probably read this many times already. Bold prayers honor God and God honors bold prayers. Caleb honored God by his bold faith. And God honored Caleb, Joshua 14, verse 13. The Bible says, Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb to this day because he wholly followed the God of Israel. Did God answer Caleb's prayer? Absolutely. God gave him the mountain. God gave him victory over the giants. God gave him everything he asked for. Last thing, and then we're going to pray. Number four, bold faith begets bold faith. Bold faith begets bold faith. Now, what are you talking about? Well, begets is kind of like a King James word, so let me say it a different way. Boldness begets boldness. I'm still talking King James, right? How about this? Boldness is contagious, right? When I pray with faith, bold faith, it has an effect on other people. I want you to notice that Caleb's bold faith has a dramatic effect on his family. In Judges chapter 1, later on in the story, God's already given Caleb the mountain. Later on in the story, Caleb's daughter gets married, okay? And he says to the person, whoever marries my daughter, I'm going to give them this field over here. Now watch this. So Caleb goes to his daughter and to talk about these things, and he asks her, what do you want? In Judges chapter 1, verse 14, are you watching this? Caleb said to her, what do you wish? So she said to him, give me a blessing. I love this. Since you have given me the land in the south, give me also the springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. That does kind of sound familiar. Where, you know, her reply sounds an awful lot like, give me this mountain. Except she said, give me a blessing. Now you promised my husband a field, but I want that spring there and I want that spring there. Now in an agrarian culture like that, water sources were very valuable and very important. So where did she learn to ask like that? From her dad, who prayed bold prayers. God, give me this mountain. Listen to me today. This 40-day prayer challenge can have a dramatic effect on your family. It can have a dramatic effect on your kids because some of you are going to begin to build a legacy of faith in your children and your children's children because they're going to be able to point to the day when we prayed together and God answered and God made a way where there was no way. God provided his promises. It's all right. You can respond like that. In my mind, I'm in a church of 1,000 people and they're like, hey, that's exactly how I saw it in my head last night when I was praying through this. Worship team, come and help us. We're going to pray. Now, some people might be saying, okay, pastor, that's an Old Testament story. You know, that's great and that's good. As if the Old Testament wasn't also the inspired word of God. But Jesus said something about mountains as well. You may have heard about it in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus said, I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I love that. Jesus is saying, this is my paraphrase. Jesus is saying, pray like Caleb. When you pray, pray like Caleb. Give me that mountain. And Jesus said, if you believe it, if you stand on the word of God, he says, that mountain will get out of your way. God will give you that mountain. Some of you aren't used to hearing sermons like this. You're used to hearing, it'll be okay, just hold on a little longer, it'll be all right. There's times that we need to talk like that and encourage one another, enduring faith. But there are also times that we need to remember that the God that you serve is bigger than your circumstances. The God that you and I serve, the God of this book, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I can even think or even make up in my head. How big is your God? How big is the God you're praying to? Is he able to give you your Jericho? Because let me go ahead and tell you, whatever you wrote on your card, it's not scaring God a bit. Some of you wrote down some things and some folks might think, oh no, God, I don't know. Listen, God is not concerned about his reputation. He is not concerned about his reputation. The challenge for us is, will we believe? Will we ask? Will we pray? To him who is able to do far more abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. If you're here today, now listen, if you haven't filled out one of these cards yet, I want you to come in just a minute. We're going to come and pray. And take one of these and fill it out. You can either take it with you, you can leave it here at the altar, we'll put it on the wall. But today, my challenge to you is, who would like to have faith like Caleb? Your prayer today after hearing this is, God, I'm not like that yet, but I'd like to be. I'd like to be that person that believes the promises of God. I'd like to be that person that says, God said it, and he's going to bring it to pass. We'll confess here today, you know what, Pastor, I've got faith, but I don't yet have that kind of faith. And if you're here today, you say, you know what, that's me. I want more faith like Caleb. Would you stand to your feet all over this room? Stand to your feet all over this room. And if you're serious, you want to take your boring little prayer life and turn it into an exciting, adventurous prayer life, then you pray, God, show me my mountain. Show me what you are putting in my heart to believe for, to ask for. Maybe you need to change what's on your Jericho and be a little bit more specific. You say, you know, God, that's just a nice little safe prayer. But I'm just going to up the ante, so to speak, because I believe you are able to do exceedingly above all that I can think or even imagine. If that's you here today and you say, God, I want more faith, this is the altar call today. Would you join me in this altar? And let's pray today that God would give us faith like Caleb. Come on, if that's you, I want to receive faith like Caleb. I want to receive faith to believe that with God, all things are possible. I want faith to believe that God can restore my home, that God can restore my marriage, that God can make a way where there is no way. God can deliver. God can heal. God can save my entire household. God, give me faith today. Give me faith like Caleb. Give me faith to believe that with you, all things are possible. Begin to pray and say, God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, give me faith like Caleb. Give me faith to believe for the mountains that are in my life. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray that you would remind us of the promises of God. Give us courage, God. Give us boldness to believe that with you everything is possible. With you all things are possible. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray you would increase our faith. Help our unbelief, oh God. Give us courage. Give us faith, God. Give us boldness to believe. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands high to heaven and say, God, I receive the gift of faith. I receive more faith. I receive bold faith. I receive powerful faith. In the name of Jesus. Give me faith today. Give me faith today, God. In Jesus' name. Give me hope. God, give me courage to believe what you said. Give me courage to believe your word and what your word has said. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, give us faith to move mountains. Give us faith, not in ourselves, but in the God that we serve. Show us who you are. God, reveal your glory. Reveal your power. Reveal your love. That the God that we serve is above all and through all and in all. Omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent everywhere. God, show us your glory. Show us your power. Yourself to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Open our eyes like Isaiah, who saw the Lord high and lifted up. God, we pray you'd open our eyes, that you're not a small God. You're the God of the universe. You're the God who does everything well. You're the God who is able. You are able, Lord.
You are great.
In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, give us faith. Give us faith to believe, Lord. Give us faith to believe, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
You are great.
You are great.
You do me.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. In the name of Jesus. Let it be, O God, according to your will and your word.
There is no one.
Now I want you to begin I want you to begin to pray for your Jericho. Come on, pray for your Jericho. Except now you're not going to pray like you've been praying. You're going to pray like Caleb prays. Come on, God, give me that mountain in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift up a cry of prayer in this place. Whatever it is you are believing God for, whatever his promises in his word that you're standing on, speak it, confess it, believe it in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray bold prayers. Let's pray faith-filled prayers right now in the name of Jesus. God, I know that with you all things are possible. God, I know that if you can give Caleb a mountain, if you can take down giants, God, you can do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Not because of me, but because of what you said, because of what your word said, because with you, oh God, with your word is true. All your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you with a couple things
here
today.
No one else
here's the thing. Here's what you're learning. We're learning about prayer. The more I pray, the bolder I pray. Are you getting this? The more I pray, the bolder I pray. See, there's a thing about building this habit of prayer. It's not just about a discipline and checking it off on my to-do list so I can, you know, put a notch in my gospel belt. No, what's happening is I'm developing my faith. And when I pray about this same thing over and over and over again, several people testified, it's given me boldness to pray. So the more I pray, the bolder I pray. And here's another thing you need to know. The Bible says that there's power when two or three agree. When two, you saw another testimony, a husband and wife are agreeing together, and it's transforming their own relationship. How about that? In my small group last Sunday night, we committed to be each other's prayer partners. For these 40 days, not only are we praying for ourselves and our own Jerichos, we're going to pray for one another's as well. So all of a sudden, my seven-minute prayer time just kind of got a little longer. I'm saying that facetiously. Listen, when we get serious about this thing, that the amount of time you pray is going to be less and less of an issue because it's going to be about your relationship with God. So before we leave today, and I believe we have some wristbands for everybody. Did we already pass those out? As a reminder for everybody to pray for these the remainder part of these 40 days. All it is a reminder. You even keep it on, whatever, 24 hours a day, but you can take that up with your family. But just pray and watch God do what God can do. Amen? But before we leave, I want you to agree with somebody else nearby you about what you're praying for, what you're believing God for, what your Jericho is. It could be somebody you know. If you're bold enough, after all, we're preaching about boldness today. You don't know that person nearby. You say, hey, my name is this. Can I pray for you or can you pray for me? And just for a few moments, this is how we're going to end this service. And let's pray together and let's agree that God would give you that mountain. Amen? Amen. Do it right now. Go ahead. Find somebody. Let's pray together in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.